There's joy over here where the table is spread and the feast of the Lord is going on. There's joy over here where the table is spread and the feast of the Lord is going on.
Why wouldn't you come on over here? There's a feast going on. While the world starves, church is starving, people drying up everywhere, we have a feast set in front of us. Are you glad about it tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Give Him a real big hand clap of praise if you love Him tonight with all your heart. Amen. Let's sing just a little bit more of that tonight. Look at somebody and say, let's sing. Amen. Let's do it tonight, if you will. Guys, if you will. To sing it like you believe it now. So come on over here where the table is spread and the feast of the Lord, it's going on. Come on over here where the table is spread and the feast of the Lord is going on. Of the Lord is going on. There's joy over here. And the feast of the Lord is going on. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Praise the Lord. You're glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Isn't it good to be in service? I'm telling you just what an opportunity the Lord has given you once again to be in His house, to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Are you glad you've got them both? The spirit and the truth. We're glad for that, aren't we? Somebody say praise the Lord. Turn around, shake your neighbor's hand, tell them let's have church tonight. Let's have some church tonight. Play just a little bit. Table is spread and the feast of the Lord is going on. There's power over here where
feast of the Lord is going on.
Come on over here where the table is spread and the feast of the Lord is going on. Come on over here where the table is spread. One more hand clap of praise tonight. We love you. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. We've got several prayer requests tonight. Brother Wes, if you'd get ready tonight to lead us to the Lord in prayer. Brother Terry Tidwell called me just a little bit ago, and he really wants the church to be in prayer. Tomorrow, Sister Vicky's got to go for another chemo treatment, and the doctors are optimistic, but he's still concerned, and he covets your prayers for his wife, that the Lord would just be mindful of her. And Bernie, my brother-in-law, Bernie Young, called just a little bit ago, and a dear friend of ours, Carl Roberts, they think has throat cancer. He's got to go for tests, and so we just pray that the Lord would be mindful of his situation, that God would be there with him during this time. Sister Becky Lynch has a very urgent prayer request that she needs the saints to pray about, that God's will be done. We'll just commit that unto the Lord. Sister Shirley Lunsford, back pain, sciatic nerve. Let's pray for her tonight as we pray. Please pray for Sister Baker. She's homesick, also is suffering from sciatic nerve. Let's remember her. Sister Maria Sponsia is having a arteriogram tomorrow to check the heart arteries, and she requests prayer, so let's remember her as we pray tonight. I want to pray for the family of Brother Greg Robbins, sister-in-law. She was killed in an automobile accident today, so we certainly want to pray for her, that the Lord would be mindful of her. Brother Ron Daly sends this in. I just truly want to thank my Lord and all the of you who prayed for me. I went to the doctor on Friday morning, very sick, hadn't kept any food in my system for a week. While we were there, I told Naomi I felt different. She said, "You are feeling God's healing touch." The doctors came in and said that I had every symptom of severe C. diff, and she wanted me to start the treatment right away. Before the test came back, we left the doctor's office, and I ate and kept it down. And the best part of this testimony, the test results came back Tuesday, and they were negative, no C. diff, so praise the Lord for that. Somebody say praise the Lord. Thank God for that testimony. We just praise the Lord. Brother Keith Phillips says, "I want to thank everyone who prayed for me as I took a certification class these last 2 days, and by the grace of God, he passed those tests." He wants to thank the Lord. Sister Bonnie Potter says to please pray for Ellie Large. She's a little five-year-old who has been diagnosed with leukemia. She is at St. Jude's Children's Hospital in Memphis, Tennessee, in very much pain. They are estimating at this time that she will be there for at least 3 years. Thank you, and may God bless. So let's pray for that child tonight. Please also pray for Sister Rena Coetzee. I hope I got that name right, who suffers from severe asthma. Lungs, very bad condition. God bless you very much. Greetings from South Africa. So those folks are asking what we would remember those needs tonight. Sister Ruth Ann Yant says, "I want to thank the Lord for answering prayer." God came on the scene. They thank the Lord for that. Brother Samuel Shuffler has an unspoken prayer request in regard to his mother. So let's remember that need tonight as we pray. Sister Martha Ann sends this in. "My daughter-in-law is having surgeries on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday of this week. She is safe, but in exceeding pain. She has strong faith, praying for a speedy recovery." So we want to pray for those needs tonight, that the Lord would be mindful of that situation. Brother Rocky Ward's in the service with us tonight. Brother Rocky, God bless you. Glad to have our brother back in service tonight. Let me make this announcement. The library would have you to know that there are several items in the fellowship hall, in the kitchen that needs to be picked up. Please check and see if you have anything there. So remember that. Now don't let that just go in one ear and out the other. If you've got something over there, go get it. They need to clean up over there. So everybody good tonight.
You got an unspoken prayer request you'd like for this group to pray about. How many of you know God's bigger than whatever our problems are? We have problems. Every one of us got all kinds of things going on, situations. But our God's bigger. Our God is bigger. And when you can't do a thing about it, your God's bigger. When people, you tell people all sorts of things and they pray and they pray and they pray and it seems like nothing happens, God is bigger. God is bigger than all of our troubles. Let's believe that tonight with all of our heart. Could we stand as Brother West comes to lead us to the Lord tonight? Love our brother, don't we? God bless you, my buddy. Appreciate you.
Let's bow our heads. Father, we enter in tonight thankfully, praising your name for these testimonies, Lord, these answered prayers and the healing that Brother Ron received, Lord, and the other testimonies, some spoken, some not, Lord. And Lord, we want to enter in with thanksgiving and praise tonight because we serve a God that can turn anything around. Lord, we know that we have prayer requests here that are very serious that we want to lay before you, Father. We want to bring them to you, Lord, with burdens, Lord. We hear these prayer requests, and as we've suffered some through each of our own personal lives, Lord, we hear different ones that really touch our heart, and people suffering loss, people who've lost family members, Lord, people who've had accidents, people who are going through sicknesses, people who are facing the big bluff of Satan, Lord, as he names some terrible sickness or some curse upon them, Lord, with his just blowing his hot breath at us like he might have some kind of victory or something if we bow. But Lord, we know better. Lord, I want to just thank you for everything you're going to do. For everybody, Lord, who's had a bad day, who's facing something hard. For everybody, Lord, who's going through something or trying to fight off a sickness or who's facing grief, Lord, or a test or the possibility of something that's waiting ahead of them tomorrow, Lord. For everything that the enemy has tried to put on us today or any day in the past, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for turning it around. As you come forward tonight and speak your word, I ask that you dissolve it all before us. Just tear that bluff down right in front of our very eyes, Lord God. Kill those giants, Lord, that are walking around in the valley. Show us, Lord, that you are a God that we love and that we worship and that we trust, Lord. Make yourself manifest one more time to your people. Lord, we enter into this court tonight loving you as one body, as your queen, Lord. As we come forward tonight, Lord, we do it with the grace you've bestowed upon us, Lord, and with the mercy that you've given us, and with the gratitude in our hearts of everything that you've done for us. And Lord, we're just looking forward to what you have got in store tonight. We should come in here tonight expecting, Lord, knowing that anything could happen. Anything is possible. Our God is a God of miracles. Our God is a God of healing. Our God has never changed. Our God has given us the faith to receive His Word, His perfect Word that never changes, never breaks, never bends. Lord, I ask you just to pour your anointing out on my brother. Set him aside and let your Word come forward and just destroy the plans of the enemy tonight, Lord God. I ask your blessing upon this service, upon the musicians, upon each and every one of our individual hearts as we lift our voices up in praise and give you the worship and the glory that you deserve, Father. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Ushers, if you want to come tonight, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor tonight in the service, we want to welcome you. Trust you'll receive a blessing tonight from this service. All those that are streaming, we pray the service will be a great blessing to those folks as well. We have a new church singing CD. It's now available over in the library if you'd like to pick one of those up. Some real good songs on there, good congregational, good special. So remember that tonight if you want to pick one of those up. They have those available for you over in the library. Always remember this. Satan's got a scheme, but God's got a plan. I love God's plan. I don't care nothing about Satan's schemes because he'll scheme you with all kinds of debts and sickness and troubles and worries, but God's got a plan for your life. I believe it's a good plan, don't you? I believe it's out of this world kind of a plan. Give him one more hand clap of praise tonight. Let's hear Brother Harry as he leads us in this song tonight. There is a land. It's out of this world, folks. Praise the Lord. Let's sing about it tonight.
I have seen some pretty towns. Yes, you could say I've been around. Oh, yeah. I found place to settle down, but there is a land. I am just a pilgrim here,
toiling
through this world of fear. My time to leave is drawing near.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to that land.
Let's sing about it now.
I've got loved ones waiting on that shore.
There is a land. It's not a million miles away, or on some far off distant strand.
But I'll speed up and they'll slow down.
There is a land.
I know why I'm so homesick for just not myself in Laodicea anymore. I'm longing for that rapture door that leads to that land. So I'll dry my weeping eyes, lift my head toward the sky. Farewell to this world, goodbye.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm going to that land that is my land.
Oh, there is a land I'm homesick for, though I've never seen it before.
I've got loved ones. I'll speed up and they'll slow down.
There is a land,
and it's not a million miles away, or on some far off distant strand, but I'll speed.
Have a couple of specials for you tonight, Sister Sarah, if you'd come. Also, Brother John Cockman is here. I think he's going to give us a song tonight. We've got some others backed up, but we'll get to those just as soon as we can. But let's those singers, if you'll come on to the platform tonight and be getting ready to sing, let's sing that little chorus, "Let the Worshipers Arise."
Amen.
Amen. Are you ready to worship tonight?
Yes, sir.
Amen. What a privilege to be a worshiper.
Yes,
I ain't no dead hide. Are you?
Yes,
if you are, I don't want you to be. And if I am, I don't want to be. I want to worship.
Amen.
Don't mean I'm going to get up here and hang from these chandeliers, but there's something in here. There's something in here that pushes this part of me. Buddy, lift your old hands. Clap your old hands. Sing to the top of your voice. God has done something for you that nobody else could do. Give Him a hand clap of praise tonight.
Let the worshipers arise. Let His sons and daughters sing.
Glory.
I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King.
Let the worshipers arise. Let His sons and His daughters sing.
I'm surrendering my all.
I surrender to the King.
Father, I see that You are drawing.
Glory.
A line in the sand. I want to be standing by Your side, holding Your hand. So let Your kingdom come.
Yes, sir.
Let it live in me.
Oh, sing it to Him, children.
This is my prayer. This is my plea.
Let the worshipers arise. Let His sons and His daughters sing.
I hear it growing louder.
Oh, yes.
The song of Your redeemed.
Oh,
as the saints of every nation are awakening to sing. From our hearts there comes an anthem.
Glory.
Oh, hear our praises ring.
This is
a song. A song to the King.
The King. Arise. Sons and His daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King. One more time. Let the worshipers arise. Let His sons and His daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King. God bless you. You're singing awful good tonight. You can be seated. Give our singers a nice hand as they sing for you.
Amen. Thank you. So good to be here. You know, Christ is mentioned in Scripture several times as being the second Adam, the last Adam. And so, and I think you knew that. One of the things that Satan tempted Adam with was, you will be like God. And his aspirations led to his fall, but Christ reversed that, Scripture tells us. Philippians 2, it says, he thought equality with God not something to be grasped, as in Adam grasped at that fruit, grasped at equality, but Christ thought it was not something to be grasped at. He was the Adam that didn't fall. And so I was reading the other day and over this again. It's in Hebrews 12. It says, for the joy that was set before Him, Christ endured the cross. And in His humility, I don't think it's characteristic of Him to be compared to, you know, someone who endures some hardship because they know that they're going to be receive a great reward because of it. But I think part of that was Christ knowing that He was the second Adam, and as Adam prefigured Christ, when He closed his eyes into a deep sleep and woke again, and his bride was beside of him. I think that Christ knew when he closed his eyes in death that he endured the cross, scorning the shame, because the joy was set before him was a spotless bride. And so this is a song I wrote a while back. It's called "That Joy Was You," and I believe that you are. I read of how they beat him and of how they plucked his face. And then I asked my Lord, how could you stand to suffer such disgrace? You're the very source of life, and yet you chose to die. How could you let them do it? Then I heard his sweet reply. For the joy set before me, I endured the cross. Then I asked my Lord, what sort of joy could justify the cost? Oh God, what kind of happiness could be worth the blood you shed? And then my Savior smiled at me and said, that joy was you, and you were worth every stripe. Long before I made the world, I had you on my mind, and you are everything I'd hoped for, and I think it's time you knew. The joy set before me, that joy was you. I know you feel unworthy, my love's hard to comprehend. And so I'll try to tell you in a way you'll understand. When a man's in love, he would give his life if he thought that he could save his children or his wife. And if I had to choose, I'd do it all again. For the love of God far exceeds the love of man. The joy set before me was a spotless bride. And do you know how much I've longed to have you by my side? That joy was you, and you were worth every stripe. Long before I made the world, I had you on my mind, and you are everything I'd hoped for, and I think it's time you knew. The joy set before me, that joy was you, that joy was you. And you were worth every stripe. Long before I made the worlds, I had you on my mind, and you are everything I'd hoped for, and I think it's time you knew. The joy set before me, that joy was you. Joy was you.
Start doubting now. God's never gonna let you down. Don't let fear and worry rob you of the joy you found. Just look how far you've come, everything that he saved you from. You're too close to home to turn around. Don't start doubting now. When burdens get a hold on you, you reach for faith to hold on to, but this time you can't take it any longer. longer. You say this trial's the worst one yet, but God's still there, so don't forget the times He's brought you through and made you stronger. Don't start doubting now, God's never gonna let you down. Don't let fear and worry rob you of the joy you found. Just look how far you've come, everything that He saved you from. You're too close to home to turn around. Don't start doubting now. Don't you remember when, in the middle of a raging wind, Peter stepped out on that stormy water? His eyes was on his master's face, but he got scared and looked away, and that kept him from going any farther. Don't start doubting now, God's never gonna let you down. Don't let fear and worry rob you of the joy you found. Just look how far you come, everything that He saved you from. You're too close to home to turn around. Don't start doubting now. God understands the words that you're not saying. Don't question if He hears the words you're praying. Don't start doubting now, God's never gonna let you down. Don't let fear and worry rob you of the joy you found. Just look how far you've come, everything that He saved you from. You're too close to home to turn around. Don't start doubting now. You're too close to home to turn around. Don't start doubting now.
Acts chapter 20, verse 26. I'm as happy to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Continuation of the book of Acts.
Praise the Lord.
Wherefore I take to you record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. That's quite a statement to say. Say it truthfully, isn't it? For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Now he didn't say that he had not failed to declare the counsel of the denominations, or what this man said, or that man said, or that man, but the counsel of God.
Right. Amen.
Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, unto all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God. To feed the church of God. So the Holy Ghost has called certain men that they're going to probably be more feeders of the church than other aspects of the ministry. Because some may go out and here and there and there and deal with all different categories of people. But the shepherds, their responsibility is to feed the flock of God. Every God-called man is not a street preacher. Every God-called man is not a convention preacher. But every God-called man has got to find what God's called him to do. Is that right? Now, notice here Paul, as he's directing, remember this is to the elders and the pastors and their assistants and all that from Ephesus, to feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. For this I know, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, and this is their whole reason, to draw away disciples after them. Not to make them closer to God, not to make them get the Holy Ghost, but their whole purpose is to get followers to themselves. This is the book of Acts. This still exists around us today. Every man made move, and this message comes from right from this same source. For preachers or lay people sometimes, that'll get people to follow them. Well, everybody's going to follow somebody. If you're going to follow somebody, why not follow Jesus? Why would you want to follow somebody that's going to lead you to hell or lead you into a bunch of mess? I mean, it makes no sense to me. Let's ask God to help us tonight as we look into His Word. Heavenly Father, we love You so much. We thank You, dear God, for the great truths of this hour. We thank You, Lord Jesus, for the Scriptures. We thank You, Father, that we have the opportunity to have our Bibles. And Lord, many, many hundreds of years ago, to think that the Bibles would have to be smuggled in by mule and pack trains and horses and sneaked across the lines of different countries. Lord, how grateful we are tonight to know that we can freely have the Word of God. We can carry it under our arm. We can have it on our phones. We can have it on CDs in our cars. Everywhere. We are so thankful, Lord. Speak to us tonight, I pray, Father, from Your Word, in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. When the Lord Jesus first called men to in the New Testament to start preaching the gospel, it was in the office of apostles, or as we would more commonly call them today, missionaries. Now, He has a reason in doing that. You imagine if the Lord would have called 12 pastors, and they would have been the ones that would have heard the gospel initially, and they would have been the ones that had been given the commission. No doubt the commission would have been more like what Paul told these men than what like the Lord Jesus gave the original apostles. And there is a reason for that. So the apostle is one sent. He will go by the Spirit of God, by a burden on his heart, go into an area maybe where there's not a whole lot going on. He will go in there and go to preaching and laboring and preaching, and the Spirit of God will start a work, and that man will be able to do what God bids him to do for however long he's supposed to be there. Most of the time, God then will raise up a man out of that area or send a man in, and then that will be the man that will become the shepherd of the flock. Then what happens to that apostle? That apostle goes somewhere else, does the same thing over and over and over again. Now that's the apostolic form that God chose. Now the original commission that the Lord gave to the original ministry was set forth in this very aspect in the apostolic form. So He would tell them, go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's very fitting for apostles, but it's not very fitting for a lot of pastors, because a lot of them don't have the burden to do that. So the men of God who've never went into all the world to preach the gospel, does that mean that they haven't obeyed the original commission? Ah. What that simply means is they've obeyed the commission that God gave them. You see, we have to be so careful when we are taking the commission of the Word of God and say, well, preachers ought to do this, they ought to do that. I'll tell you one thing, they need to go over here. No, God called men need to follow the leading of the Lord for their life. Not what I tell them to do, not what you tell them to do. Now, just for your information, so you will know, as the pastor of this church, I have never told Brother Terry, Brother Wes, Brother Darrell, Brother David, any other minister in this church, where to go, how long to stay, when to come back. I've never told them, don't go here, don't go there, you shouldn't go here, you shouldn't go there. To me, if they are really God-called men, they need to go where they're led of the Lord, Brother Jim. I'm not a bishop that set over these men and said, now you go there, hey, you know, this guy don't like me, I don't want you going over there preaching for him. That, to me, that is so anti-word. They should go where God leads them to go. You mean, Brother Donnie, You would want them to go somewhere that you're not even welcome to go? I most certainly would. Some of you all go visit churches that I'm not welcome to be in. But if I told you who they were, you wouldn't go back. I can know that, and I ain't got an attitude, but I'm not sure you could. So you know what? I'm going to keep it to myself. Hallelujah. Don't Don't you see the sway and the power that men can have over one another when a lot of times we just need to keep our mouths shut about things that is of no benefit to the body at all? Now, whenever Peter and James and John was sent forth and the original 12 disciples, they wouldn't have not been given this commission now that Paul is instructing these pastors. Now, he's gathered them together and they are going to hear many, many enlightening things, we know. So he tells them to feed the church of God. Notice he doesn't tell them to go out into all the world and preach the gospel. And probably most of these men never even left this place that they were called. That's amazing, because the Lord Jesus, when he come to the earth, him be God on the earth, and yet probably never journeyed over 100 miles from where he was born his entire life. And yet God being on the earth. Now watch this. I'm sure that you know this probably from looking at it, but let's look in Galatians chapter 3 verse 6. How many of you all know that God preaches? How many of y'all know that God preached to Abraham? You don't know the Bible says that? You're fixing to read it. Galatians chapter 3 verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith are the same are the children of Abraham. Now listen to this verse closely. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham. So God was a preacher. So folks around this message that don't believe in preachers means they don't believe in God. Pretty serious thing when you say you don't believe in preachers. Now God didn't send him a letter. God didn't record him a tape. But according to what Paul said, God preached to Abraham. No wonder Abraham could have body changing faith. God preached to him. Amen. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying. Now this is what a preacher does. He don't pray, he says. So God preached to Abraham, and God didn't read it to him, but God said it to him. Now notice what God preached to Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So God preached to Abraham about his position and who he was. And what did that do? That gave Abraham faith that God would bring to pass the word that he said about Abraham. Oh, praise the Lord. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. But yeah, now listen to this very carefully, because we're so misunderstood in the way that we approach the truths that we have. Now God came down and preached to Abraham, and maybe different cycles that God had preached to him. But we know that one great time when God actually came down in form of theophany, and that theophany came in to a human body, which gave it a human expression, which allowed it to be able to eat, because in a theophany you cannot eat. And we know that God did eat when he came down to Abraham. And God came down and preached. Now this time when he came to Abraham, he was preaching about Abraham, but he was also preaching about Sarah, about her position. But I want you to notice now that God and two angels came down, and they visited Abraham first, and they ate a calf sandwich and drank some milk. And then these angels, they're going on their journey, and God makes known to Abraham what he's fixing to do. And that is, he's going to destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And then Abraham begins to plead. Now listen, so God preaches to Abraham the future events, or modern events made clear by prophecy. But God, in love and mercy and forgiveness and so on and so on, but yet God does not go down to the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and ever preach one word to them. Oh my goodness, how in the world could God do that? I mean, he's within rock throwing. measuring distance of where Abraham was, as we would say. And yet God comes up here and preaches to Abraham, and God does not go down and preach to the Lottites, or God does not go down and preach to the Sodomites. You see, those who feel like me and other message preachers should go out and just, my, harbor these denominations and preach this and that and the other. They're blind. They don't really understand who this message is even sent to. Now, will I testify to anybody? Absolutely. The biggest Baptist church in Johnson City wants me to come and preach for them. I'll go. Y'all go with me? If one of the Catholic priests invites me to come down and preach for him, I'll preach for him. I won't let him preach for me. Now, I'll preach for the biggest Baptist church in Johnson City or Bristol or Kingsport, but I won't return the favor. Well, you say, how can you do that? Because them being crows, they can eat both seed and a carrion. But since you're doves, you can't. Praise the Lord. Now, I can go and preach for them, but I will not reciprocate. I'm sorry, that ain't the way we do it here. Brother Branham went and preached for lots of denominational preachers, but I don't see him doing the same thing at the Branham Tabernacle. Well, glory. Now what? So God himself here was down to Abraham, but God never went to Sodom. God never went to the Sodomites or to the Lottites. Now listen carefully on this. The prophet said from that time, Jesus said as it was in the days of Sodom. Now there were three messengers come down for three different classes of people. My. Two of them went down and preached the gospel in Sodom and brought out that little group that would come out. But what's the messenger that stayed with the church spiritual? Abraham and his group. Now, how many believes God is loving, kind, tender, merciful, so on and so on? Well, why didn't God go down there? Praise the Lord. God sent them what they needed. Right. God sent them what they needed. Now, I hope you're going to understand the direction I'm going tonight. Let me make it real clear to you. The denominations do not need me. They don't need Brother Darrell. Now, will I stop and help a denominational person? Absolutely. I went to the hospital and prayed for sinners. I went to the medical center over here and prayed for people that was in other denominational churches and watched God heal them. I've counseled people right there in that office that was not a message believer. Had no intentions of coming to the message, but they were in trouble. And they had a friend maybe or a loved one that came to the church and asked me if I'd counsel them. Absolutely. Will I encourage anybody? I will. But where am I going to spend the most part of my energy? Among the elect. Amen. Well, I pray for the Baptists. Well, I pray for the Methodists. Well, I pray for Donald Trump and whoever more. I will. But am I going to spend most of my energy on them? I am not. Because I'm sitting up here under this oak and I'm separated where I'm supposed to be. Amen. Once again, now he said, you notice that he only shows himself, like we left off last night at Abraham. He never went down unto Lot's group, but he appeared to the elected group, turning his back to a tent, and said, where is thy wife Sarah? Oh my. Now he said, in the tent, he told what was going to happen, and they were going to have this child. And Sarah laughed and said, why did Sarah laugh? Sarah tried to deny it. And Jesus, when he said, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Now that angel never did go to that Sodom bunch. He only stayed with the called out and the elected. But now listen, they had their messengers. The Baptist people have their preachers. The Methodist people have their preachers. Come on, children. They have their preachers, and they preach exactly what they need. I hope this don't stagger you, but God is providing what the foolish virgin needs to hear. God is providing for many of these people that will come out of her before it goes into him, and they're setting under the types of ministry that they need. Some of them need the smiley preacher. Some of them need the dollar preacher. Some of them may need this and that and the other. They've got their own singers. They've got their own books. Many of them have even got their own Bible. They've got their own thing. You said, that shouldn't bother you. But neither at the same time should you sit around and judge men of God because they don't go out there and spin their wheels down and there that's feeding those people. They couldn't feed me and they couldn't feed you because you are an eagle. But they're giving them apparently what they need to be able to bring them over to the other side, but it will never put them in a rapture. Listen, church, they have their messengers, but so do you. Praise the Lord. Notice this now. Brother Bram says he only stayed with the called and the elected. They had their messengers and their eyes were blinded to the door. But the elected group saw God manifested in the flesh. Again, he says, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Lot, so will it be the coming of the Son of Man. There the church nominal has their messengers. Now, remember when he's preaching this, that he types it with Oral Roberts and Billy Graham. Now, we know that they were the head planters, as he called it in the spoken words original seed. And Billy Graham was the one, of course, to the ecumenical type, Episcopalian, Presbyterian, Baptist, Methodist, so on. And Oral Roberts was sent to the Pentecostal. Then Oral Roberts has passed on now, will stand before the Lord. Billy Graham, basically too old to preach. But just because those two men aren't preaching anymore does not mean that God still does not have messengers. Now, come on. Brother Branham isn't here anymore, but God still has messengers to his people. So does God have messengers to the Lotites? Are they trying to bring them up to a spot and trying to help them and pray for them and encourage them? Are they doing it? Yes, no doubt many of them are doing as good as they know how to do, but it just won't feed us. Praise the Lord. And our diet's too rich for them. Oh, you know what? Each one has to go to where God has called them and let God be the one that sorts it all out. And you and Ed and me just mind our own business. That's right. Notice they had their messengers. And notice again he says, that was the church nominal, had their messengers, and the messenger of the Holy Spirit with the church elected, doing the same thing which makes him Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Who is the messenger of this hour? No man. The Holy Ghost is the messenger of this hour. What is it? God dwelling in human flesh. The Holy Ghost is still the messenger of this hour. Praise the Lord. Or Roberts is gone. Billy Graham will be gone before long. Our prophet gone before either of those. But the messenger, this messenger, is still here. He's still talking. I'm glad I can still hear him. Amen. Notice again, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. As the days of Lot, when a modern Billy Graham and Oral Roberts went down into Sodom and preached to them, Sodomites blinded their eyes, see, with the gospel, one angel stayed back. A messenger was Abraham and the elected group. What kind of sign did he do? What did Abraham call him? Elohim. God manifested in flesh, Jesus showing that he himself, God in him, will be manifested in his bride. Oh my goodness, manifested in his bride. Manifested in his bride in the last days. Oh my sin. Just know into it, just a revelation from God is eternal. It keeps on moving on and on. Now, we have over 1,100 sermons of Brother Branham on tape. Beginning with Faith is the Substance, 1947, and closing out all the way to the end of 1965. Can anybody show me one of those titles that was preached in a street meeting? Oh. So I ask you, was the Hebrew series preached on a street meeting or in a church? Seals? Who is Melchizedek? Rapture, invisible union, demonology. Oh my, wonder why? Because this messenger is going where he's supposed to go. Now, would it be fitting then to have a street meeting and preach the seals? Praise the Lord. Brother Donnie, you said we shouldn't witness. I say you should witness to absolutely everybody that the Holy Ghost leads you to witness to. And if he leads you only to witness to them about to cross and stop. If he leads you to witness to them about the cross and healing and so on, stop. If he leads you to witness to them about the message of the hour, go right ahead and do it. If he don't, you better not. Let the Holy Ghost be your leader. Witness to people. Talk to them as God will lead you to do it. But get this denominational thing out of your mind that we've got to go around bringing everybody to this message. God never called everybody to this message. I'd love for somebody to stand up here tonight or anywhere around the world and take your Bible and prove to me that Abraham ever went down to the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah or the other five outlying cities and ever held an outreach meeting to them Sodomites. When Lot got in trouble, he went out there and delivered him, and Lot went right back to Sodom, and Abraham went right back to his tree. Will we help them? Will we pray for them? We will. But we feed different. Our natures are different. Our Christ's different. Praise the Lord. Oh, my. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You know, and you look at it the same way. So for message singers who go around and sing and have singings and concerts, do they sing in message churches? Do they go out and rent auditoriums and buildings that is mainly message people? Or do they take their keyboard or their soundtracks and set up in the Walmart parking lot and try to reach the lost? Really? You think some of our message songs would make any sense in a street meeting? So what's it take? The leadership of the Holy Ghost. Well, Ronnie, why don't you get out here and preach on the street? I will. I'm a simple, obedient guy. All it takes is God to tell me to do it. But following you? No. I won't even follow my own wife when it comes to that sort of thing. I ain't going to follow my brother. I ain't going to follow none of you deacons. I'll follow God. God wants me to have a month worth of street meetings. You'll see me as a street preacher. You come by and I'll be screaming and hollering and carrying on. I'll do it if he leads me to. If he don't, I won't. Amen. Praise the Lord. You're selfish. No, I'm led of the Holy Ghost. Oh my. Now watch this. Remember the angel that came down in the form of a man to talk to Abraham, the called out elected church. He never went to Sodom and done down there like the other fellows who went down there and preached like Billy Graham and them today with that G-R-A-H-A-M again, like A-B-R-A-H-A-M. Each watch had their messenger. They've got it today. The Baptist folks have their Baptist preachers. The Methodist folks, the Presbyterian, the Catholics. Praise God. It's very fitting, really. Would you look at it? It's very fitting. Now remember this person that was in the days of Abraham. Remember, Abraham was the elected. He wasn't in Sodom. He was called out of Sodom. That messenger that visited him never went to Sodom. But the ones that went down to Sodom, watch what they did. So here is God never even went to Sodom. That must mean that God was mean. And God was selfish, and God was had respect of persons, and God gave Abraham what he needed, and he gave them what they needed. Friends, it's time for us to quit cutting everybody off and let God take care of them all. I know some of their preaching and some of the stuff they do make you sick to your stomach, but it's the same way with them. What they come here and try to hear us preach, it make them sick to their stomachs as well. And you go, well, I don't understand how they can make a rapture on that. They won't make a rapture without a rapturing message. But they can make a tribulation period with a tribulation preaching. Which is what many of them are getting. Now, watch this. He says, remember that one didn't go down in Sodom. He only manifested that sign up here to the elected group that wasn't going to be in the fire. Boy, you ought to consider yourself blessed by God. Oh my. And then all that was a Sodom and Gomorrah. It was God in the form of a human being, the way that Abraham noted. It's when he said, why does Sarah life in the tent or behind you? Why does she doubt the words that he spoke to be so? He could perceive what Sarah was thinking behind him. Now, if you just see that it wasn't to the church of Babylon or the church of Sodom. No, no. That wasn't to them people down there in the denominational ranks. No, sir. Never goes to them. They got their messenger. They've got their TV programs. They've got their books written by their own people. They've got their own songs. They've got their own things. Let them alone. We've got our songs. We've got our books. 66 books of the Bible, and then all the others that God gave us through his prophet. They've got their books. We've got ours. They've got their songs. We've got ours. They've got their preachers. We've got ours. Oh, my. I love this in Spiritual Food in Due Season. He says, you say, why is it that the message don't go out in these great big places and these big crusades like amongst the denominations? It's not their food. It's not the church so-called food. It's the bride food. It's spiritual food in season. It would make them sick at their stomach. Well, praise the Lord. Aren't you glad it don't make you sick? Glory to God. You know, this strong diet will have effect on you one way or the other. It'll make you sick or make you new. Make some folks sick. It's going to make me a brand new person after a while. I mean, this is strong stuff. It is rich. It is good. It is filled with all sorts of vitamins if you can take it. But if you can't take it now, it'll make you real sick. A lot of folks sit around it for years and years and years, and they go to handle it out. The more they get, say, Lord, have mercy, I can't take this no more. I'm out of here. Go. Well, if that's what you've got to do, God bless you, so be it. We're just going to keep right on eating until we eat ourselves to a body change. I don't deny it ain't rich. I don't deny it ain't wonderful, but man alive, is it good. Praise be to God. It's spiritual food in season. It would make them sick at their stomach. It's too rich. Notice who for. For them. Not me. Raise your hand and say, not me. Oh, this preaching in Happy Valley. My, it's too rich for a lot of folks. Aren't you glad you can say, not me. Amen. Not me. You see, you can't do it. But for the children, it's bread, it's life, it's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So God has provided for the Luddites, the types of churches, the types of songs, the types of preachers, the types of radio and TV ministries and all this, that, and the other that the saved out of the church will need to carry them over into the tribulation period. For the Sodomites, the messengers has been provided for them that will condemn them at that day. And for the elect, notice the elect, they was not down there among them in the first place. They was up here by themselves. There was a lot less of them. They probably didn't look like they was doing near as much for God, because they wouldn't hardly get around them Sodomites. They would stay away from all of them and kind of live a separated life, and they kind of had their own little meetings and their own little cliques and their own little church and their own little preachers. Why? They were a separated people. Now watch, it was the Lord Jesus now who instituted this great thing called preaching. I realize now it's foolishness, I know that. But it was him who chose it. Let's look at it, if you would, from Matthew chapter 10, verse 7. Let's get a New Testament view now of this preaching, since we're talking about the book of Acts, and it was based upon preaching. Matthew chapter 10, verse 7, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, this message was very fitting for this dispensational change between John the Baptist and the death of the Lord Jesus. Now remember, at this time, the Lord Jesus has not died. So he's sending out the disciples in Matthew 10, and they're going to go out around the country, and they're going to begin to forerun Jesus as well. Notice what they're preaching. They're not preaching holiness. They're not preaching the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They're not preaching church order. They're not preaching the gifts. They're not preaching, but what are they preaching? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. That was very fitting. That was the message that was needful for that time. Praise the Lord. Notice, now he said, what I tell you in darkness, verse 27, that speak ye in light. What you hear in the ear, preach upon the housetops. Now let's take this literally. So you know what? If that is literally, I ain't never preached a sermon in my life. So does that mean next week when I come back from South Carolina that I've got to get a ladder and I've got to shimmy up that ladder and shimmy up on top of them shingles and straddle the roof and sit up there and preach like this? Because Jesus said I had to preach on the housetop. Aren't you glad you got an ear to hear? Praise the Lord. Now I wonder how many preachers in the message has ever preached on the housetop. Literally. You see, friend, we can take the word and make it to where it makes no sense whatsoever. Aren't you glad the Holy Ghost is still the messenger? Amen. Now notice in verse chapter 24, verse 14, and the gospel, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, then shall the end come. Now we're moving over into a more universal commission that will carry on through the extension of the church ages. Part of this is not going to. Part of this is going to go to the initiating of the gospel age, and it's going to become with the apostles, and then as it comes on into the Holy Ghost, we can see here in the book of Acts, as we just read in the opening scripture, that now they have moved into a furtherance of that gospel. Now, could these men go back to the churches and preach the same thing ever, service, service, after service, after service? The kingdom is coming, the kingdom is coming, the kingdom is coming, the kingdom is coming. Well, you can only say that so many ways and so many times without people being bored to tears, and they ain't going to come back. So God knew that this was a message that was fitting for the time. Oh, my. Notice again in Mark chapter 3, verse 14. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, that he might send them forth to read. Preach. What? Preach. Preach. Oh my goodness, this must be one of them old time Bibles. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now notice this. This is tricky. This is not an individual commission. This is a commission to the entirety of the church. Every preacher will not fulfill this. Every preacher will not go into all the world. This was not given to preachers in the sense of every preacher. This was given to the church body. In my name, they'll cast out devils. I mean, everybody. In my name, they'll take up serpents. Thank God the Bible said they shall. They'll speak with new tongues. What is everybody in the body going to do? Every one of them things? No. It is a commission to the church. Praise the Lord. So some will be burdened and they will go out. My, they'll go up boats up rivers and they'll go here and there and there. Others are called to be shepherds and their focus will be right on that flock. Praise the Lord. Why? It's the way God makes the gifts and disperses them. Notice this now. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Remember, this is a commission to the church. Will every preacher do all these? Will every believer do all these? This is to the church body. And they shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now watch how the prophet catches the scripture and frames it. God promised in Mark 16, his life's commission to the church. So now this is not to an individual. This is not this scripture right here. It's to Donnie Reagan, and Donnie Reagan's got to do every one of these if I'm a preacher. It's a commission to the church. So in the church will be somebody that will speak with new tongues. In the church will be somebody that will cast out devils. In the church will be those that will go into all the world. Amen. Notice, so every God called man must find that spot that God wants him to be. Again, in discernment of spirit, Mark 16, he said, go into all the world. Here's what kind of church he set up. The last commission to the church. Wow. So Jesus started out his church with preachers. Well, I mean, I ain't too smart, I know that, but how could it be his church if we ended up with tapes? Started out with preaching, and then you ended up with them same preachers that are called sitting down and pushing play. Brother Donnie, what are you doing? Oh, nothing, just following the Lord. What are y'all doing? Now, this is his church. And remember, Satan will do his very best to change his church and make it conform to the image of the devil. As for me and myself, I want to say what God says and be in his church, don't you? Amen. I know you do. Luke chapter 9, verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils to cure diseases. Then he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Now notice here it disperses a little bit beyond the kingdom of heaven. Now remember, the kingdom of God is going to be the indwelling presence of the invisible God in the human heart. This is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven is when the kingdom is actually brought down. So now watch as he gives them power to cast out devils, preach the kingdom of God, heal the sick. Luke chapter 24 verse 46, before he's fixing to ascend, he said unto them, thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So the original church started at Jerusalem, and it's to continue on the same way till the last one comes in by preaching. Now look, friend, I'm not preaching this for job security. I'm not preaching this so you'll still need me around here. This is the Word of God. This Jesus Christ founded his church on these principles. Who are we to say we don't need them no more? Acts chapter 5 verse 41, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach. Now you think three times a week is a lot for church? These apostles had it every day. Praise be to God. Man alive, maybe that's what we got to do before we get out of here. Praise the Lord. Oh, Lord. Some of y'all like to lost your false teeth. Some folks around Happy Valley do good gear one time a week, much less every day out of the week. My, my. Well, praise the Lord. Notice again now. So they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Chapter 8, verse 3. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they were scattered abroad and went everywhere preaching the word. Preaching the word. Chapter 10, verse 40. And God raised him up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us. Now remember, they're preaching about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to It shouldn't take a rocket scientist for you to understand why I ain't going to stop preaching. Just because some of the message folks think I should. It shouldn't take a very smart man to understand why the onslaught is raising up again to attack the God called ministry, and why many, many ministers around the world are not setting for it. Praise the Lord. Oh my, he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. Chapter 16, verse 10. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. Assuredly, gathering the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. How can we say we are restored then if we don't even believe in preachers? If we have been restored to the apostolic faith, this is the book of Acts. Well, you say, Brother Daniel, what in the world would give you preachers the idea that you would stand up and preach when you've got a tape could be there? What would give these the apostles ideas that they'd go around and preach after God preached? And Jesus was God. Brother Branham was a prophet of God. They need to get saved. They need to get the Holy Ghost. But Jesus knew if they did not preach, his message would die. Oh my. Romans chapter 10 verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a tape player? And how shall the tape player play except without electricity? As it is written, how beautiful are the heads of a tape player. How beautiful are the feet. Now friends, I don't understand all that, how that works, but according to the word of God, them right there is beautiful feet. That preach the gospel of peace and glad tidings of good things. How can they hear without a preacher? And how can the preacher preach by inspiration of God, of course, unless he is sent? Amen. Then how can I go out in the denominations and do this and this and this unless the Holy Ghost sends me? How can Brother Darrell go? How can Brother this and that brother and that brother and that brother? How can we do it unless the Holy Ghost sends us to do it? I love this one in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher. Ooh. Kairos. A herald or messenger vested with public authority who conveyed the official messages of kings, magistrates, princes, military commanders. Oh my. Praise God. Or who gave a public summons or demand and performed various other duties. Now listen to you, sir, of the New Testament. In the New Testament, a preacher is God's ambassador and a herald or proclaimer of the divine word. Anybody that wouldn't want to hear God call a preacher, there's something wrong with them. I mean, they're missing something somewhere. Praise God. Notice Timothy now, as Paul, the aged great man of God, as he's instructing Timothy. Now, you know, if he wanted the church to be a reading church and a church that was just on theology and all that sort of thing, here's your opportunity, Paul. Lay it down to Timothy and tell him what to do. Second Timothy 4:2, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove. Rebuke. Brother, don't rebuke me. A preacher ain't supposed to do that. A real God called preacher, that's part of his calling. Exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Now watch him carry over into Titus now. Titus chapter 1 verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Oh my, thank God. The continuation of the book of Acts. Praise the Lord. Can I go on? Amen. Now listen. Oh, I don't know, man. Brother Branham, what year was this? Oh, goodness, in 1953. It's before the seals. I don't know really if I... Because he might not have meant it. You know, I mean, he might have just been mincing his words or something? Well, I'll go ahead and read and let you decide, okay? That's the most important thing of the day, is a good, God-sent preacher. Praise God. I admire them. And their gift is far beyond anything that could be done in any case. Is a preacher, a man who knows how to rightly divide the word of God. Oh my. It's the most wonderful gift in the world. Is to be a minister. Praise the Lord. Is that an honor, Brother Terry? Is that an honor, you brothers that are called of God? What an honor to be called to such a position. Now you think this is apostolic. This is apostolic. Now notice he said, it's the most wonderful gift in the world is to be a minister, which was a New Testament modern day prophet. A preacher. Prophesy means to foretell or to tell some personal thing. In other words, if you read the Bible, then that's the teacher, but a prophecy is to testify or foretell. And the Spirit of Christ is prophecy. So the greatest gift in the world is a preacher. Hey, friends, you know, it's just really hard for me to comprehend how that the very man who said this, than many of the folks who said they believe his message, say preachers is absolutely nonsense. Mama, praise the Lord. You know why? They don't believe what he said. First of all, they don't believe what the Scripture says, and they don't believe what he says. That's what makes me sick to my stomach. Say what the tape say. Say what the tape say. That's what got me in so much trouble over the years. Saying what the tape say, but they didn't know that they said it. But when I said it, they got mad at me. That's like getting mad at the mailman when he brings you a due bill from the IRS. And the next morning, you're sitting at your mailbox, and you're throwing rotten eggs at the mailman and lettuce and Snickers bars and Pepsis and Coke, and you're totally drowning out his veil and say, you make me mad on the horn. Get out of here. I hate you. I can't stand you. I said, look, don't get mad at me. I'm just the mailman. Some of you folks get mad on the horn at me and some of these other preachers. Don't get mad at me. I can't help it if God delivers your mail through my mouth. Amen. This is a one-man message. Come on now. All right. Oh, my. Well, let's read that. Why it had to be shepherds, shall we? Notice they complained about God's provided way was the reason they died. Now, closely, don't miss this last few remarks. They complained what made them die in the wilderness. They complained about God's provided way by a one-man message. Oh, Brother Donnie, you don't believe that? I most certainly do. A one-man message, a prophet, leadership of one man. Tell me when God ever used a group to lead. You won't find in the Bible. The word came to Moses. Korah, we all know he got himself together and complained about God. Just not being just to do a thing like that to make one man with the message. But I want you to notice Brother Bram's words very carefully. They're not like mine and yours. He doesn't say that one man's the only one to preach it after it's delivered. God never used Brother Branham and Oral Roberts and Billy Graham and Donnie Reagan and Tim Pruitt and whoever more to bring this message. He used one man to bring it. And it is a one-man message. Praise the Lord. But now if only one man preaches it, he's not apostolic. Those who want to make Brother Branham the only voice to preach this message are doing him the worst disfavor they could do. They're taking him out of the Scripture and being a New Testament prophet. Oh my. Notice it says that we're all holy. Why can't we have a denomination? Why can't we do this and that? God told Moses, separate yourself from them. I've had enough of it. And remember, Jude speaks the same thing in the last days. That's right. They perished in the gainsaying of Korah. We all know what happened to Korah. And the rest that questioned God's word and God's wisdom of that one man leadership, and every one of them perished. And Happy Valley said, Notice again he says, who do you say this is? They enjoyed the preaching of this prophet, this anointed one. They believed him. They followed him. But there rose up one in the wilderness by the name of... Well, I could call a lot of other names here, but I'll just say it like he said it. We could update it real quick. By the name of Dathan and one by the name of Korah. And they said, this has got to be a one-man affair. Moses thinks he's the only one that God's called. That one-man message, they didn't want it. No, they didn't want it. God never did deal but with one person at a time. It's always a one-man message. And if anybody has personal access to Brother Branham, invite him for this weekend, the next weekend, the next weekend, the next weekend. He's more than welcome to come and preach for us. As a matter of fact, I'll forfeit the next 6 months if Brother Branham will come and step behind the pulpit and take the service. I have no problem with that. Of course, if he wants to come behind the pulpit, we won't be here 6 months because the resurrection will be on. Praise the Lord. Now, you see, friend, what Satan, through Antichrist anointing, is trying to do is to bring people that'll follow this nonsense to break them away from the restored faith that really this prophet has succeeded in doing. We ought to be so grateful to God. He is attacking this restored message. That'll make you shout tonight to know that it has been restored. Now, what he wants to do then is to make Brother Branham to be the only one to preach. So, according to what some are saying, the preacher should forfeit their biggest service, whether it's on Sunday morning or Sunday night. They should forfeit that to play a tape. I have no problem in doing that as long as God tells me to do it. But let me tell you right now, there ain't no man on this earth going to tell me when I can preach, when I should preach, when I should not preach. Not as long as I'm the pastor of this assembly. Oh no. Y'all may want a bishop. I've got one. His name is Jesus. Now, by making Brother Branham an Old Testament prophet, which is what this thing is trying to do. Trying to make it to where that Brother Branham's message was like Moses' message. Now listen carefully. Moses was the only one to bring 10 commandments. Joshua never brought the 11th or the 12th or the 13th. So it was a one-man message. But did Joshua say what Moses said after Moses was gone? Did the Jews still, many of them to this day, still say, and we do, it's a big fuss here in our country. Can we put the Ten Commandments up in public place? Can we put them in a courthouse? This and that and the other. Praise the Lord. Right? Why? But now was Moses the only one that was supposed to speak it after it was brought? He was not. But he's the only one that God's going to use to bring it, so it's a one-man message. Now, did Moses' two sons own the Ten Commandments after Moses brought them? Okay, I just wanted to ask you a question. I was just curious what y'all thought about it. Now, in the days of Noah, Noah was the only one who preached the message about the flood. We have no record that his sons preached. Of course, we know he didn't believe in women preachers, so his wife didn't preach. But Noah was the only one that this come to. It was a one-man message. Jonah was the only one that preached about what was fixing to happen down in Nineveh. One man message. Daniel was the only one that preached in the book of Daniel the different things that was going on. One man message. Oh. But when we come to the New Testament, what's this and standing in the gap now? Have I ever told you anything but what was right? A voice got to talking. Now, this is his dream when he's fixing to go up in the north and be a god and all that. I was talking to him. He tells about the dream, rather. Carry out your plans and you'll be like that. Referring to the dream. Lord, I don't want to be like that. Said your wife will go too. She won't live up there in them hills like that. And you'll become a bum. Now you can see why one reason why a lot of these deity people ain't gonna never play this quote. Because they can't stand it that Brother Branham was a man. It's one of the things that a lot of the message folks have against me, because I made Brother Branham a man. I never made him a man. His mom and daddy did. I mean, if you got a problem, talk to his mom and daddy. I wasn't the one who made him a man. Notice, here is God talking to Elijah and telling him, if you carry out your plans, you're going to be a bum, Elijah. I can follow a man like this. Praise God. Oh my. I said, I don't want to be that. I don't want to have to live like that. I want to do something different. Now watch. But I was told that you'd call me to be a prophet. And I want to live in the wilderness like the prophet. But I was using my own excuse so I could hunt. As I said, I can follow a man like this. Oh, praise God. And he said, but that was the prophets of the Old Testament. You've been called to be there in a much higher office than that. Oh my. He said you've been given gifts, more gifts beside that. You was called to pray for the sick and preach the gospel in the apostolic form. So the apostolic form was God taking a prophet and then other ministers coming out from under that ministry. That's the apostolic form. But this is the way most of these tape people want to do Brother Branham. They want it to be a one-man message, so Brother Branham's the only one to preach it. Antichrist. Anti-word. Anti-Brother Branham. You're doing the worst thing you can do for him, friends. You're taking him plumb out of the scripture. Notice, in the apostolic form, you know of greater things, many great gifts. He said, why do you wait for me to move you every time you move? Where is your reward? Then I seen. And he said, do you remember I told you? You remember what Brother Roberson told you in your dream and his vision? That you had done like Moses? You forgot the feeling of your people? You forgot the call that I called you to? Brother Branham didn't need nobody going around trying to dig out dirt in his life. He'd tell us about his own dirt. He'd tell us about his shortcomings, his failures, Brother Jim. Oh, thank God for such a man. Now notice the angel of the Lord, Brother Branham, looking at it, hiding behind it because of his own personal excuse. But he said, oh, I was told I was a prophet. And if I'm a prophet, I want to go out down the wilderness. He said, of course, really, I wanted to do it on my own. But notice, this is the thinking of a lot of these people. It's a one-man message. Moses stomps out of the wilderness and brings the commandments and goes back. Brother Branham, you want to hear straight from the voice of God, push play. Smyrna, church age, in every age, we have exactly the same pattern. This is why the light comes through some God-given messenger in a certain area. Then from that messenger, there spreads the light through the ministry of others who have been faithfully taught. But of course, all those who go out don't always learn how necessary it is to what? Tell me.
Speak.
Louder.
Speak.
Louder.
Speak.
So those who play are off at the very beginning. So apparently they've not been faithfully taught. Because if they were faithfully taught, they would know you can't just play what he said. You got to say what he said. Amen. Now notice this. He says, but of course, all those who go out don't always remember how necessary it is to speak only what the messenger has spoken. Remember, Paul warned the people to say only what he said. 1 Corinthians 14:37. Notice how it comes right back to Scripture. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. What? Came the word of God out from you or came it to you only? And they add here and take away there. And soon the message is no longer pure and the revival dies. Listen, and the revival dies down. How careful we must be to hear one voice. For the Spirit, there, Brother Donnie, there it is. It's only got one voice. It does. And it's the voice of the Holy Ghost. Oh my, notice it is one voice, which is the voice of God. Paul warned them to say what he said, even as Peter did likewise. He warned them that even he, Paul, could not change the word which had been given to him by revelation. Oh, how important it is to hear the voice of God by the way of his messengers and then say what has been given them to say to the churches. Oh, praise be to God. Now, if we make Brother Branham then to where, well, Brother Branham's the only one to preach, everybody else should just sit down. We believe in preachers, of course. We believe in the ministry, and they should marry the young, bury the dead, visit the sick, and do all of that. But they should be lined up with us, and whatever we play, whatever tape we say, then that's what they should play, and they should be under us. Baloney! Pickle baloney on top of that. Every God-called man should pray and seek God and read the Bible and listen to tapes and stay in the presence of God and get sermons that are needful for his congregation. Let me tell you something, friends. I preached in tape churches before. Those who play tapes mostly and believe occasionally in preachers. Do you understand one thing they never do? They don't know how to pull on a gift. You watch those that are set free off from under the tape thing. For many of them, it takes years, Brother Jim. Years for them to ever learn how to pull. You can't pull nothing new out of that tape. It is preaching 65. It's going to say the same thing over and over and over again. And they sit there and they don't know how to pull. And when you preach to them, it's like the words falls right out of your mouth. They don't know how to pull. They're not putting anything into the service. They're not pulling. Oh, they might stand and jump, and that's nothing but a bunch of emotion. They don't know how to pull on a gift of God. That's one thing I love about live preaching. If you got a need, the Holy Ghost can pull a man of God right over to the thing you have need of. If you listen to Brother Branham preaching, you'll never be able to pull on God, and God changed the words on that tape. Oh my, let's stand. Let me share another thing with you too before we go. Just like in the army, one is a general, that's a headquarters. Captain says this, he's the captain of the group. Between the general can change his orders. The chief commanding general, of course, is Jesus Christ and his church. And his ministers are his captains of the companies that's representing him here on earth. Amen. This one right here, my brother. Oh, my. This quote here sends devils to the ER. And some of the message folks will be falling right behind them, I'm afraid. God fortified his army with what? Himself. In the form of prophets, plural. Apostles, plural. Teachers, plural. Pastors. What did he do? What was God doing? Listen, did you ever think what the offices of the church is? It's God's dress. Inside dress. An apostle, a prophet, a seer, a foresee before Satan ever gets to it. Done. What is it? God dressed up in his church. These offices is God's dress wear. Isn't any wonder Satan wants to take them away from us? Let me tell you something, friend. He ain't going to try to use the Catholics to take it away from you. Or he said, Brother Don, this don't need to be preached. Believe me, as your shepherd, this needs to be preached. This spirit is gaining momentum around the world. And when it comes against you, I want you to be able to know the truth. Oh, bless God, we quoted what the prophet said. Oh, sure, you may quote it here and a quote there, but I want more than that. It's like somebody standing in place, praise be to God, I preached on water baptism, and then they read Matthew 28:19. Let's go to Acts 2:38 too. So don't just read to me the one man quotes. Let me read to you some more quotes. Let's close with this one. God dressed up in his church. These offices is God's dress wear. When you see those offices, pastors, teachers, evangelists, what is that? That's God's dress wear, God's presence, God's spirit working through man. And if that office denies any of this word, then it's not God's dressing. Well, what is it, Brother Branham? That's that wolf in sheep's clothing. Watch that fella. Beware of him. Makes no difference what his last name is, first name, middle name, whether he's fat, short, black, white, red, pink, and purple stripes. Beware of him. I don't care if he's been around for 313 years. Beware of him. Praise the Lord. Well, thank you, Jesus. Are you restored tonight, friends? You know what? If Peter come on the earth today and wanted to preach, some of his tape churches wouldn't even let him in. Paul wanted to resurrect. God resurrected him, sent him on the earth to preach. He said, now Paul, sit down. We're going to play tape, Brother Branham, buddy. You didn't understand what Brother Branham did. So sit down over, Paul. Well, now I introduce our pastor. Well, the next time you see your pastor, greet him for me.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Brother Donnie, what are you doing? Oh, Lord Jesus, help him. He is. He is. Don't get scared, friends. Don't get scared. I don't know why you folks get all tore up and I go to preaching this way. I mean, y'all act like that. I mean, that I'm prone to, you know, I don't know. You know, first and foremost, I'm going to follow him if it erupts hell. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. My, don't you appreciate the word of God? Let's bow our heads together if you would. Lord Jesus, thank you tonight for your word, Father. We thank you, Lord, for your precious, precious message that you've given to us in these last days. Lord, we thank you. I thank you so much. It's attacked on every hand. If it was accepted and loved by everybody, I couldn't believe it. There's no way I could believe it. If it was not attacked greater than any other message on the earth, Islam is much more respected now. The denominations, Catholicism, almost any religion of the world will be much more higher respected than this message. It can be blasted, run down, ridiculed. Lies can be told on those who believe it. Lies told on the prophet messenger who brought it. And people have a license to do it. And it seems like nobody will say anything about it. But if a person mentions one thing about Mohammed, oh my, ready to call fire down out of heaven from the White House on down. It shows us where the truth really is in this hour. I thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you that we stand here tonight and we can say we believe what we have heard. Our hearts have been restored. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And the book of Acts is continuing to go on. We want it to be in our lives, Heavenly Father. In our church, in our homes. We want your presence to live among us. Thank you for your way that you've made for us to be identified, Lord, in this day. Thank you for your dress wear that you've put among us. There are those who say, Brother Branham has fulfilled the fivefold ministry. The problem with that is, he never said it. So is there a difference, Lord, of taking away from what he said or adding to what he said? It produces the same result. So help us not to add to or take away, but to say what the tapes say. Praise God. Because they say what the Bible says, which is what the Spirit says to the church. We love you tonight, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord, you see this prayer cloth that I've worn tonight. Dear God, you know this need. I'm asking you, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would meet this need, dear God. No doubt there's others here tonight and those that are streaming the service. I pray the presence of God would be able to meet the needs of your children. We believe you're a healer, a deliverer, a sanctifier. Father, move among your people. Amen. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord Jesus. Praise be to God. Can we just raise our hands? Just a little bit of worship that we'll give to him before we go on Wednesday night. Oh, Jesus, we adore you tonight, Father. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, Father, that's among us. We thank you for your precious word. Lord God, we want to stand for what's right and what's true and pure. Father God, we thank you for every God called man. May every God called man find his place, stand there, refuse to move because of intimidation of whoever more. May we do what you've called us to do in the Spirit of God. May we not pay any attention to this chatter, chatter, chatter that's around us. But maybe go on, Father. Amen. Our time is close at hand. We love you tonight, Father. Praise be to God. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Amen. How many thanks God tonight for God called preachers? Amen. Hallelujah. Oh my. Every God called evangelist, every teacher, every pastor, every aspect that God's called, I thank God for it, don't you? Amen. Brother Terry, we need every one of them. In America, in Europe, around the world, wherever God sent them, we need them in the body. I realize this will make some folks mad when I say it, but they'd tickle the devil to death if every church in this message would turn into a tape church. Because the devil knows there are things that has to be preached against that Brother Bram never even mentioned. Show me the word pornography in the tape. Show me the word internet on the tape. Show me the word Facebook on the... On and on and on and on and on we could go. Why does God do that? God's constantly got the live minister there to keep updating with the devil. God could have sent down updates from heaven on the tapes if that's what he wanted to do. And all of a sudden they'd find a tape and had the word internet on it. All of a sudden they'd find another tape and it had the word pornography on it. They'd find another tape and it had the word Facebook on it. They'd find another tape and it had this and other. That ain't God's way. God's way is this foolish man right here. And that one and that one and that one. And God will take them same men that you love and fellowship with you and let that Spirit of God go right down there and tell you the very thing you and your wife was talking about coming to church. Why? Because it's not them. It's the Holy Ghost that's still the discerner of the thoughts. Amen. Praise God. Let's sing it together. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I promised him that I would serve him till I die. Aren't you glad tonight you're on the winning side? Praise be to God. Well, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Yes, I'm on. bless you, saints. Love you in the Lord. God bless you. Go in the fear of God. A wedding down this week in South Carolina. I know many of you are planning on being there. Those that aren't, be here to support the church where you can. We'll be back, Lord willing, be in service with you again. Brother David Gadmo will be here on the weekend. I love you. Go in the fear of God. May God be with you. If one of us slips on the other side while we're apart, remember, it won't be too long. We'll be gathering together again. Amen. God bless you, saints. Go in the fear of God. Oh, I'm on the battlefield. Oh, my Lord.